and the state and other places are waiting for them to be adopted, right? But there was this little girl, and she was in an orphanage years ago, and some of her friends kept getting adopted, and she'd be remain there. So years went by. She was 6 and then 7 and then 8. She was 9 years old, and she just got to the place where nobody wants me, nobody cares about me, nobody wants anything to do with me. I must be less than. Anybody ever felt like that? Right? I must be less than. But one day, a family came, and it was a young mother and a young father, and they came into the room, and they said, "We're taking you home. We're taking you home." But what she didn't realize was, is they'd been 6 months in their house fixing her room, making a place for her to come. And when she came home and she came and they said, "This is your room," she just started crying. "This can't be my room. This can't be. All I deserve is a little bed with a few clothes and a little satchel by the bed. That's all I know. That's all I deserve." And yet she opened the drawers and they were full of brand new clothes her size. She went down and to the dining table, and here was a chair, and they said, "This is your place at our table." She said, no, it can't be, because I'm usually the last one served at the orphanage, but no, you get served before we do because we're now your parents." See, what happened was, is she was adopted. She was adopted. And like one, I've told you this story many times, but I want you to get this in your head, that this young boy who'd been adopted and had brothers and sisters that were naturally born, but one of his brothers got real mean, you know, as kids do, and said, "Well, you're just adopted." And he turned, the adopted boy who knew what happened to him, turned to the young boy and he said, "Listen," he said, "Dad and Mom had you. They wanted me." They had to do something to get me that was outside of the normal realm. Right? All right. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." How many know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to stop for a minute because I got to explain this to you. Have anybody ever read in the Old Testament what the temple looked like? If you go back into Deuteronomy and you go back into Numbers and Leviticus, and then you'd read the description of what David did to build the temple, every piece of furniture was overlaid with gold. Come on, if there was a table, it wasn't just a table, it was overlaid with gold. And that doesn't mean that was painted gold. It means there was a film or a veneer of gold that was fashioned around it. Even the poles that lifted it up were made of gold, and there was stones and precious wood, and it was magnificent. The curtains were incredible, and God said, "This is how I want you to build it, because I'm going to dwell there, and I don't dwell in a shack. I don't dwell in a place that's not okay. Now watch this, and I won't go far into that, but watch this. He said that you, because Jesus came and changed your heart, that the Spirit of God now dwells in you, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that He doesn't dwell in junk. That He doesn't dwell in a place that's not set apart for His presence. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and He does. And in 1 Corinthians it says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I wish we could just get a view of how we looked in the Spirit. It would change everything. Would change everything. I'll tell you another story. I heard this fellow that he'd had experiences where he went to heaven and came back, and he did it several times. And one of the times he was talking with God as he was in heaven, and he said, God said to him, "Do you want to see how I see you?" And he, as most of us would go, "I don't think so. No, please, no, please, please, please." Why? Because we know that God knows everything. So He knows all of our thoughts. He knows all of our shortcomings. He knows everything about us. And so, please, God, no, 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 no. How many have ever thought, after you've done something really stupid, that God must really be disappointed in you? Right? And God, I mean, could you really still love me? And so this man was before God, and he said, but God said, "Here." And He opened his spiritual eyes. And he saw himself fashioned with royal robes on, with armor that was glistening, with a sword in his hand, and standing with a stature that screamed out security, screamed out confidence, knowing who he was. And it wasn't because of what he did. It was because of what Jesus did. Amen. Why am I saying this? I'm trying to paint something inside of you of who you are in the Spirit. Why? Because I need you to know who you are so that your prayers will be from a place of sonship. Mm-mm-mm. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mm. "Therefore, brethren," verse 12, "we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. You will live." Come on. In other words, living out of who we are on the inside gives us the victory over the outside. And many of us are still trying to live from the outside in, and God wants us to live from the inside out. In other words, this may be how it looks on the outside, but here is how it looks on the inside. Glory to God. How many have looked at even situations that are going on in our country today and you just go, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, what's going to happen?" Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen, that Jesus is going to return. And those that know Him, those that walk with Him, are going to go with Him, right? And it doesn't matter whether we lose our popularity here in the United States, which it seems to be happening really rapidly. Come on. Again, it used to be that if you said you were a Christian, you were held up to a higher little standard. Then you're somebody who doesn't lie. You're somebody who doesn't cheat. You're somebody that I can trust. You're somebody, but now you're almost vilified, right? But don't let that bother you at all. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in our mortal body, and every word is true, and there's coming a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will set foot on the Mount of Olives. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have my views on the rapture and all that stuff, but it doesn't matter whether he comes pre, post, or after. When he's coming, I'm going to be with him. Glory to God. And here's what I know, that when I leave this earth suit that I'm walking in right now, I'll be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this I know. Glory to God. But we have to get our minds set on the things that are above and start living from the inside rather than the outside. Now, I know many of you, probably the majority of you, have been filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. But do you? Do you? Or just, every once in a while when, I think it's kind of like having something that's makes life easier and we don't use it. Right? It's like you have a brand new tractor for the field that you want to garden, that you want to use, and you've got all the implements in it, and all you have to do, it's going to take you about 20 minutes to furrow the ground. But you said, no, I don't want to use that. I've got one of those old wire wheel things with, and I'm just going to push that through, and it takes you 3 months to get ready to put some seed in the ground. And God is saying, look at, pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you'll build yourself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you can pray prayers that you may not even understand what you're praying, but God knows exactly what you're praying, knows exactly how to pray through you, and you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. When? All the time. All the time. Now, there's a place in church where, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that needs to be decently in order, but the same person that wrote that said that I pray in tongues more than y'all. But I do it the right way. I do it in order. But I pray. Why? Because my life depends on it. I'm talking about praying and living from the inside out. We're going to talk about that a lot this morning. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I could spend a month on this verse. Literally, I could. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Once you're born again, you shouldn't be thinking like you used to think. You shouldn't be feeling like you used to feel. There's so much you could go there, right? I refuse to let genetics play a part of who I am when the blood has already, come on, redeemed me from my past. The Bible talks about the sins of the Father going from generation to generation to generation. But the blood of Jesus stopped that. I'm no longer of my earthly father. I'm of my heavenly Father because I've received the spirit of adoption. I'm no longer this name. I'm now of this name. Are you with me? But I can go back to living out of this name if I want to. But that would be stupid with a capital S. That I need to be over here living out of the name above all names, the King of Kings. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Sad hearts weep no more. Come on. His name is Jesus. That's who I'm living out of. Glory to God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. Watch this. This is so incredible and so important. Get a hold of this right now. God is not the one telling you that you're less than. God is not the one telling you you don't belong. If you're hearing His voice and you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He's telling you, you're my child. You're my child. How many know children? And of course, all the children that you know are perfect. They're just little angels. Right? Wrong. Right? They all have things, but you still love them. Right? Come on. You couldn't do anything to keep me from loving my children. Nothing. They couldn't do anything. Because they're my children. They're my children. Watch this. This gets better. The spirit of where we cry out, Abba, Father. How many have ever cried out? Amen. With your emotions, with your pain, joy, whatever, you cry out, Woohoo! Glory to God! Or, oh, why? Come on, we've cried out. That's what this is describing. It's not, well, that, yeah, God's my Father. God is my Father. And it's really interesting because it says Abba Father. And you know that Abba Father really is Father Father. Daddy Daddy. And what does that mean? That means He's not a dad that's outside of a relationship. He's a dad in an interpersonal relationship. In other words, I can know my dad, and my dad can know me because he's my daddy daddy. Come on. He's my papa papa. I know him. He knows me. He's my God. I'm his child. Glory to God. My earthly father has been in heaven for over, well, it's getting close to 30 years now. But you know what? If there could be a phone line from heaven to me, and he called on his cell phone, he said, which he didn't talk on the phone very much, but he said, Bruce, I'd know instantly who it was. I said, I'd know instantly who it was because he was my dad. You're a child of God. You know his voice. Don't ever let come out of your mouth, I don't know what to do. You have to believe that when you speak to Him, He hears you. Amen. He will show you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. Why? Because He's your daddy daddy. Glory to God. I'm a child of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed you suffer with Him, that you may also be glorified together. Look at it. I'm an heir of God. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. What does that mean? That means you and Jesus walk into the throne room of God together. He doesn't have any more right to be there than you do. Sounds like blasphemy, doesn't it? Almost. But no, the truth is that you're in Christ. Remember, as we started, all of our life is hidden in Christ. Who I am is hidden in Christ. So when I go before God, it's like Jesus going before God. Why? Because I've been adopted into His family. He wanted me. See, I'm in Christ, and you remember when Jesus was baptized and you know, the dove descended and a voice came out of heaven, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's you. That's me. If Jesus is Lord of your life, if you've received Jesus as Lord of your life, I'm not saying that God doesn't ever see some things in you that He wants for you to get better at. But He needs you to come from the place that you've already been established in His family. Right? Come on. The way to get over the flesh is to live in the Spirit. It's not the way to get in the Spirit is to live in control of the flesh. Because if you try to be enough, do enough, to be worthy to be in the Spirit, forget it. And the enemy will always point out the things that you're not doing enough of to be a son or a child of God. But God is saying, I've already done enough so that that's who you are. Come on. I'm a child of the Most High God. It's really funny. As many of you know, we're going through a transition personally where we've sold our house to and our property to Donnie and John, our daughter and son-in-law. And we're in the process of with the county and going through all the permitting to build an ADU, a little mother-in-law's house on the same property. Right? But now we're living in an RV that don't feel sorry for us. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But we're living in that. And my granddaughter will come walking over. And when she comes walking over, she always knocks on the door. And my response to her every time is, honey, you never have to knock at my door. Why? Because you belong here. And if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will the love of God? Come on. You know, my granddaughter and my grandson could never be an intrusion on me. I'm never too busy for them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. How many want to walk in their sonship? I'd say daughtership, but I don't think that's a word. But sonship is neither male nor female. It's a position in Christ. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. Simon, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is very interesting to me because Simon was a child of God. And how many know that we were slaves to sin, but then we got into our sonship? Right? And the Bible declares in many places you're no longer a slave, but you're now a son or a child of God. But this says that Peter was a bondservant. What does that mean? What it means is, I was freed, but because of the love of my Father, I've put myself as His servant willingly. So Paul said it this way, the life that I now live, I don't live unto myself, but I live by the Spirit of God because He loved me so much. Come on. Are you with me? So in Christianity, it's like, I'm a child, I'm free, I'm in the presence of God, I'm a son of God, but from that place, by my will, I freely put myself back under to become His servant. That's what he's saying here. I'm an apostle, I'm sent of Jesus Christ, but I'm also a bondservant. I'm sold out to Him. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Our goal is to be sold out to Him in everything. Everything. Come on. Look at, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on. I've received His righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the peace of God. I have the wisdom of God. All of those things are made available to me. And I live out of my sonship. But I also live out of my servanthood. Right? I live out of my servanthood. So I am a son, but just as my example, my big brother, he emptied himself of his position to become a servant. Glory to God. But you can't really become the servant that you're supposed to if you don't know your sonship. Because the more you know your sonship, the more you know what you really have to offer in your service. Glory to God. And we have to empty ourselves of our abilities and say, Lord, it's your abilities in me that get the job done. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. Or Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. Come on. Watch this. The more you know of God, the more you know who you are. Grace, what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. We could describe it in many ways, but grace is God giving to us what we haven't earned. Salvation is grace, right? His healing is grace. His meeting our needs is all because of grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I'll make all grace abound unto you, that you, having sufficiency in all things, may be able to give to every good work. It's His grace. And Peter here says, I want that to be multiplied to you. But how does that become multiplied to you? It becomes multiplied to you by knowing who God is and who Jesus is. Come on, and that's right, because the more that you know them, the more you understand who you are. You're not who you're. Old daddy said you were. You know, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? That's not who you are. You're no longer under His kingdom. You're under God's kingdom. Come on, are you with me? I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer, come on, a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Come on. Sonship. But sonship says, okay, I'm a son, but now I can become a servant. Now watch this. This is so good. And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called you by glory and virtue. Let me read that again. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You're not waiting to get more godly. You're not waiting for the ability to be more of something if it's already been given to you. Come on. If I put $1 million in your bank account, you'd all say, thank you very much. Right? But you would, at that point, wouldn't be waiting to be able to pay your bills. You just go to the bank and pay the bill. Because you had it. How did I have it? Well, Bruce put it in my bank account. So it's mine to use because it's there. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And how do we get that? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. By which He has given to us exceeding and great promises, that we might be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I have His divine nature. I may not always act like it, but it's there available to me. But I've got to begin to look at myself through His eyes and begin as a son to serve. Right? These things are true. These things are mine. These things are given to me. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. How do you get from sonship to servanthood? Here's the description of how you do it. With all diligence. What does that mean? Do it on purpose. Make it a habit. Do it all the time. Diligence. 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 You know, there's some people who go to college, and honestly, they go to college to party. So they're not very diligent in their studies. And so, therefore, they don't receive the benefits of the education. They might even pass the class, but they don't get the full benefit of the experience. Why? Because they haven't been diligent. We need to be diligently walking with God. What does that mean? What does that mean? You need to talk to Him all the time. You need to read His Word. You need to have His name on your lips all the time. All the time. Again, I was in a meeting not too long ago talking with a fellow, and somebody that he knew that I've been aware of, I don't know him very personally, but he said anytime you're around that guy, his lips are always moving. And you know, he always looks like he's talking to himself. But he said, no, he's not talking to himself. He's praying in the Spirit all the time. Because he's diligent to be in the Spirit. See, with all diligence, add to your faith. So you have to have diligence for your faith to be added to. And to add to your faith, virtue. What's virtue? You know what virtue is? It's moral excellence. Moral excellence. See, if I want to go from sonship to servanthood, I've got to live my life as an example that can be followed. Right? I need to live my life out of excellence rather than compromise. I mean, everybody in here knows that you're not supposed to lie, you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to cheat, you're not supposed to covet, you're not supposed to do these things, and yet compromise will say it's okay. But he says if you got to diligently add to your faith moral excellence. In other words, you got to say, Bruce, sons don't lie. Are you listening to me? Sons don't cheat. Sons don't gossip. Sons don't covet. Come on. I'm going from sonship to servanthood. Because I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for God, and I'm also living my life so that it can not only be pleasing to God, but that you can look at me and see Jesus. Right? That's powerful. That's powerful. Now watch. Giving all, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. I just can't help myself. I don't think that's true. I'm not necessarily calling you a liar, but you're deceived. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. You're living out of your mind instead of out of your spirit. You can control yourself. The Bible says, watch this, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love. And King James says a sound mind, but most translations translate it self-control. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. Self-control. As I know who God is, as I know who Jesus is, and I give diligence to that, I can live controlled by me. My flesh doesn't have to dominate me. Are you with me this morning? See, I'm going from sonship to servanthood. I can't serve as Jesus served if I'm concerned only about what I can have and what I can get and what's in it for me. Right? This is a scripture that's just amazing to me. But we can come to the place where I can live by the power of God and can control my flesh by my spirit. Amen. The Bible says, walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Hallelujah. How do you do that? I get to know who God is. I need to get to know who Jesus is. I need to get to know what they did for me as a son, because his divine nature is living on the inside of me. Just picture this. Just picture this. Jesus is in your situation. And the temptation comes to lie. And we all have the bumper or the bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But could you imagine Jesus go, well, Father, this one time, just this one time, I'm going to tell a doozy. Right? Or it would be better, No. Because his divine nature is on inside of me, I'm going to act like he acts. I'm going to let the chips fall where they may, but I'm going to act like he acts. Come on. So my thing is that, Lord, I'm going to live morally responsible. Now watch that, with moral excellence. And again, my job is not to ensure that I judge you on your moral excellence. My job is, Lord, because of what you've done for me, because you live on the inside of me, I'm going to live with virtue. I'm going to be virtuous. But it's because of my sonship that I can. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at the self-control, perseverance. What does that mean? That means I'm standing in the midst of whatever is going on. I'm going to do the right thing, even if nobody else thinks it's right. I'm going to stand. In Ephesians, you know the verse, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's my life from now on. Why? Because I found out what his promises are. I've found out that I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And even if I have to, you know, suffering because I'm standing, it's okay. I'm going to persevere through that. Because my sonship dictates my performance. I've told you this before. I remember my dad saying to me when I messed up, Dugans don't act like that. Man, that stuck with me all these years. I'm probably 6 or 7 years old. Bruce, Dugans don't act like that. Can you just picture God? Say, you're my son. Come on, Christians don't act like that. Right? That's not who you are. That's not who you are. You don't have to do that. You don't have to compromise to be liked. You just have to be who I made you. You're my child. Come on, anybody getting anything this morning? I am. Look at this now. Look at this. Perseverance and godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Isn't that interesting? Come on. Godliness. In other words, quit compromising. Right? You know you're not supposed to do that. Quit doing it. But don't quit by grunting and groaning and straining and moaning. Do it out of your sonship. That's not who I am. I'm going to live as a child of God because I haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but I've received adoption. And when I received that, I received every promise, and his divine nature lives in me. Oh, come on. Glory. I can do this. I can live my life in a way that will glorify God and that others might see Jesus through me. I've had it happen once or twice in my life. But I've had somebody say, you know, I see Jesus in you. That's the highest compliment that I could ever get. Come on. What's different about you? Jesus. Jesus. I've gone from being of my father the devil to becoming my father who's in heaven. I'm a child of God. And out of that child, I can live my life at a higher standard. So what do I need to do? I need to be diligent. Right? I need to be diligent to be virtuous. To moral excellence. I need to be diligent to that. I need to be diligent on gaining knowledge of who God is and who God has made me to be. What God thinks. How He thinks. When I'm reading in the Gospels, when I'm reading throughout the Word of God, Lord, what are You saying to me? What are You saying to me? Again, just a side note. How many know that for me, God doesn't wake me up at 6 o'clock and say, I want to talk to you. But I get up at 6 o'clock to talk to Him. And watch this. When I talk to Him, I was at a conference and this just struck me. This man is an incredible teacher and he said, well, what do you pray for? Somebody asked him, what do you pray for? He said, I get up every day and ask God for a thought. What? Just a thought. God, give me a thought. See, because one thought from God can change everything. But when I get that thought, I meditate on that thought. I protect that thought. I write that thought down. I ponder that thought. And then God adds to me other thoughts. See, we're sons and daughters of God. How many know that God can give you a thought? And that's how God normally speaks to you, is a thought. I mean, I know people have heard audible voices. I know people have seen angels. I know people who've had dreams. I know people that have had visions. But the number one way that He speaks to you is a thought or an impression, right? So it's like, Lord, I'm going to live out of who You are. I'm thanking You that You're going to talk to me. I thank You that You're with me. I thank You, Lord, that You've given to me these things. And I choose out of sonship to become a servant by giving diligence to these things, to my moral excellence, to my finding out who You are, by living a controlled life. In other words, I'm telling my body what to do instead of my flesh telling me what to do. Right? I want a perseverance. In other words, God, I'm never going to give up. You know, there's a scripture that says this, and it honestly, it puts a little fear into me, fear of the Lord. It says, don't be like those who draw back. We're living at a time, and you hear it from different places, where this famous Christian says, I no longer believe. And this one says this, and Lord, help me to never be one of those that draws back. Never. 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 Because I want to persevere through everything, God. Most of us want to have this on our headstone. Well done, thou good and faithful. What? Not son. Servant. Because I'm a son and I persevered through my life, I'm able to be called a faithful servant. Amen. Did you get anything this morning? Come on, ponder it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. I thank you for all of those that are listening online or are going to listen tomorrow or the next day. God, I just pray that you would plant this in their heart. Show them how much you love them. And out of that love, they can stand up in who they are in Christ and live their lives because of the power that's residing on the inside of them. Father, I thank you for doing it. I give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. If you're there, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all you have to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I'm apart from you. I ask you to become Lord of my life. Jesus, I give you my heart. And he'll touch you. He'll do that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. God bless you. Bless all of those that are watching in Jesus' name. Amen.